I'm Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Yes, indeed, it is Friday. Cinco de Mayo, that's right. Is that right? Yeah. May 1, all day I'm thinking it's 5th of May. Oh, actually, it's the 3rd of May. Oh, sorry, I'm here live in the studio. Because if it was recorded, I'd be a little smoother. Thanks for listening to Out There today. I have a lot of little clips for today, maybe some bigger clips. We might hear from someone that I met in Kentucky through Workaway named Nat, who is from Louisville, Kentucky, and is part of a worker co-op coffee shop in Louisville. And I have clips from the Smith College camp out. I'm not sure what to call it. Tuesday, Smith College students in Chapinlan started a presence to remember the Palestinian martyrs. So I have a little clip from there. I have a little clip from Andy Morris Friedman talking about Warner Pond and that conservation recreation area. I got a little thing from last year's Odenong powwow in Amherst. I got some gospel preaching from Kentucky. I have Carl from Bike Week talking about Bike Week. Bike Week is coming up next week, I think. Carl will tell us. Oh, I got some nettle picking clip too. First, I guess I will announce, do any follow-ups and announcements. So today's Friday, May 3rd, says the calendar. How do I get so confused about the dates? I really don't know. It's a sign of things to come, I'm afraid. So today, this evening at 5, is the one of the weekly JVP, Jewish Voice for Peace, standouts at the Rotary in Northampton by the Connecticut River. I like to mention the natural landmarks and not just the human-made hunks of asphalt that define a place. That's at 5 p.m. Call for a ceasefire into the genocide in Gaza. Tomorrow is Pride Parade in downtown Northampton. There will not be Bike Lab tomorrow. Bike Lab's going to every other Saturday schedule. So we had it last Saturday, and we'll have it next Saturday, the 11th. Oh, yeah, next Saturday, the 11th, Bike Lab is going to be in Pulaski Park in conjunction with All Bodies on Bikes and lots of Bike Week activities. It'll be like a kickoff for Bike Week. Bike Week's the following week, May 11th through the 18th, something like that. Though we know every week is Bike Week. What else? Oh, going back to today, this evening at 6, pick up Ultimate Frisbee in Haydenville on Fairfield Ave at the park there. That'll probably be every Friday at 6 p.m. until the days get too short in the fall. It's a really fun pickup game. Beautiful place. And hopefully when my knee gets better, I'll play. What else? It's also Ultimate Frisbee pickup typically on Saturday afternoons at 3 in Northampton at Veterans Field where the skate park is off of the rail trail and West Street. And that's by where the Mill River used to run. Speaking of natural landmarks that aren't there anymore, you know, where the old tree was. Anyway, what else? I think that's all. Ooh, last week I talked a little bit about how people that were living behind McDonald's by the rail trail and the tunnel under the rail trail, how there was a whole thing where they were kind of evicted from that place. And I had heard that a bunch of people moved across the street kind of behind Toyota, that Toyota place, and by Stop and Shop. Speaking of natural landmarks, by the Barrett Street Marsh. And today I was talking with someone who moved that way. And she said, yeah, we were getting harassed by kids at McDonald's who were throwing ice out of their cups at us and throwing food or just telling us, hey, if you're homeless and hungry, why don't you eat this trash or things like that. And that's why we got out of there. I'm assuming there are many, many reasons. All right. Well, I'll start with last Saturday, the first clip I got from last week. Here's Carl. It's Saturday, April 27th, 2024. Another bike lab. I'm here with Adele. Hi, Adele.
Hi.
And Carl. Carl, it's your first bike lab today?
This is my first bike lab, yeah.
How'd you find out about it?
I was canvassing for Bike Week, and I stopped at the Recovery Center, and I saw a poster in the window that said the bike lab was happening, and I said, oh, that sounds like something that I would like to know about. And that's the first time that I heard about it.
You were canvassing for Bike Week?
For Bike Week, that's right. Bike Week is May 13th through the 19th this year in 2024. It's an event that tries to get people to ride their bikes to work or just everything that they're doing throughout the day, if that's going to dinner or something like that. That's also what we encourage on Bike Week.
Do you ride a bike?
I do ride a bike.
you like it?
I do love riding my bike. I bike 7 miles to work there and back each day, so I do quite a bit of riding. The big Bike Week event that we do each year is the Bike Breakfast, which is on Wednesday from 7:30 to 9:30. So if you're already biking to work as part of the event, on Wednesday you can stop in at Pulaski Park and get a free grab-and-go breakfast item. There will also be a radio station there doing interviews with people and lots of booths about bike things that are happening in the area that you can learn more about other opportunities to ride your bike more.
That's Wednesday
though. Wednesday the 15th from 7:30 to 9:30. So this bike breakfast is special because it's the 25th one that's happened. So it's 25th anniversary of bike breakfasts in Northampton. It will be for the first time this year in Pulaski Park. Last year it was across from the Hotel Northampton. I'm not sure the building.
The Registry of Deeds.
That's probably it. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's where we had it last year. But we think Pulaski Park is a good place to have it. There's a nice big lawn there that we can set up the booths to talk to people about bike things. Other events, we have earlier in the week on Tuesday from 5:30 to 7:30. I'll check the time. but on Tuesday, we have at Forbes Library a bike lab sponsored by Bikes for All that will be repairing your bikes. So if you find as you ride your bike on Monday that there are some things that need to be fixed up, you can stop in on Tuesday at Forbes Library between 5 and 7 and tune things up a little bit. Thursday is the bike party that you might see happening on Thursdays from 6 to 7. We just go out and have fun riding around downtown Northampton streets, meeting Pulaski Park at 6 p.m. Uh-huh. Yep, for the bike party. And that'll be followed by a bike party after party at Progression Brewing Company. They have a space that they'll set aside for any bike people that are coming by bike after the bike party. And then Friday, there's a bike commuter party where after you've been biking the whole week, you can come to Northampton Bicycle. They have a bar on the other side of the shop where there will be a social hour with both alcoholic beverages and non-alcoholic, so it's family friendly. You can bring kids to the event if you'd like. And then on Saturday there is a bike yoga from 12 to 1 in Sanctuary, which is on the third floor of Thorns. So there will be kind of a yoga activity that you can stretch out any muscles that might be sore from biking all week. And then the last thing is on Sunday, there's the Great Tree bike tour. There's both going to be like a guided tour and then that has limited spaces that are available. But there's also the routes posted online, so you can follow along at your own pace if that sounds like something that you'd like to explore. We have a website. It's nohobikeweek.com. So if you go to nohobikeweek.com, you can find all of the information about the events, when they're happening, where they are.
So Tuesday is the first one at the library?
Tuesday is the first one at the library, yep.
Okay, that's great. So people, if they have a bike, come get it fixed, and then you can do all the other events the rest of the week.
Through the rest of the week, yep.
That's pretty cool. Yep. Or people can also come to Bike Lab the Saturday before that.
One of the other great things that we are doing is we're partnering with local businesses. And for Bike Week only, if you come in with your helmet to any of these businesses that are participating, they'll give you a special perk for showing that you're coming to their business by bicycle. And just to name a few, we have Lucky's Tattoo and Piercing. You can get $10 off a purchase if you want to get a tattoo, maybe of a bicycle. Mm-hmm. We have Fitzwillie's that's offering a 10% discount off of lunch. Progression Brewing Company is offering buy one, get one half off for appetizers. And this is an evolving list, so you can check the website again to find that full list of businesses that are participating.
And quarters?
And quarters, yeah. So if you want a little bit of a excursion out of Northampton, a little bit of a trip, you can go to Quarters in Hadley, and they'll offer you 30 minutes of free arcade games if you show your helmet.
30 minutes of free? This isn't a discount. You just get a freebie there.
A freebie there, yeah.
Oh, that's
30
exciting.
Minutes of free games,
I don't like video games. Hey, Adele, what about the Tuesday market?
So I learned that if I get a bicycle benefits sticker, which I think is $5 at the Tuesday market or other places that are participating, every time I bike to the Tuesday market, I will be given a $2.50 token, a little wooden chip. So I calculated that if I go to all the Tuesday markets between now and I think it's November that they stop, I can get 9 free creme brulees or 5 Masa Mexicana bowls.
Maybe it's some kale too.
And maybe that, but I'm like really focused on the creme brulee and the Masa bowls.
Cool, thanks. Transportation literacy. That's something I wish was taught in schools, in homes, everywhere. There's so many ways to get around. Walk, bike, car, scooter, electric bike, hitchhike. I think a lot of kids don't know how to take the public buses. A kid with a bike on the bus, that can open up a whole new world. So it's Saturday, April 27th. I'm coming back from Bike Lab. I was riding up the trail past Abundance Farm, and I thought, I should check the garbage can to see if it needed emptying, which it does. And then I thought, as long as I'm here, nettles, I should get some nettles. So I came to pick some nettles, and I ran into a couple other people also picking nettles. Yay, it's the spring nettle harvest. What's your name?
Ellie.
And
Alexi.
And you all are picking nettles too?
Yeah, first time.
First time, but you're familiar with nettles.
Yeah.
How have you known about them?
So I'm Bulgarian by birth, and nettles are a very common thing to eat in spring. So my grandmother used to pick it every spring, just go foraging. And I moved to the area recently, so I'm super thrilled to find nettle here.
You said there weren't any in Texas?
No, none.
How do you like to cook them?
Well, my grandmother used to make them with rice or make nettle soup. I haven't cooked nettle in 20 years, so I'm going to have to pull up the Bulgarian recipes online and figure out how to do it.
And how do you pick them without getting stung?
Well, I was trying to remember what my grandmother does, and I think she looks for young plants so they don't sting as much, and then try to slide her hand in between the leaves and be fast.
And you have some Christmas sacks that you're using, like gloves?
Yeah, we discovered that the single bag is not enough, so two. You okay,
sir?
So we loaded up two at the same time. That seems to help.
I don't know if you saw the sign over there that says use gloves.
Yeah, I did, and you know, too late.
Sorry for all the wind and that. Those two recordings, listeners, all like, yeah, don't have a windsock on my phone, and it was a windy day Saturday, apparently. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. As I said, when the show started, I thought today was Cinco de Mayo, and so I thought I would find a Mexican song to play. This is a Mexican bike song.
Cada giro de la estrella le da cuerda a la paciencia en la resistencia ante el flujo vial. Tal vez lo más progresista pueda ser lo más sencillo, cual dos tobillos sobre un pedal. Cuando la ciudad va llena,
Una noble maquinaria en la vida diaria podrá ayudar. Y es un cuadro equilibrado y que se echa a andar tan solo con los alveolos al respirar. Te hallaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá pa' acá, que nos vayan dejando un carril pa' nosotros ya. Puede darte varios cambios, del manubrio a los pedales hay muchos males por reducir. Siempre hay estacionamiento, matas el estrés un rato y es más barato, dímelo a mí. Vámonos bajando panza, vámonos librando venas con la cadena que hace fluir. Vámonos al teatro en bici, a la chamba y a la escuela, hasta el bicinema o hasta de aquí. Te hallaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá pa' acá, que nos vayan dejando un carril pa' nosotros ya. Anda en bici la banda, porque tiene su qué sé yo, cada vez más demanda, porque es mágica, poco no. Ya súbase a la bici, compa, trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá pa' acá, que nos vayan dejando un carril pa' nosotros ya. Anda en bici la banda, porque tiene su qué sé yo, cada vez más demanda, porque es mágica, poco no. Cumbia para las biclas que nos mueven de allá pa' acá, a ver si ya reciclan un carril pa' nosotros ya.
David Aguilar, that's from 2011, I think. I think it was written to encourage, to promote, to try and get more bike lanes in Mexico City, I believe. And the translation, English translation, well, I'll chunkily translate a little bit. It's something like every turn of the chain wheel, well, perhaps the most progressive can be the most simple. Two feet on the pedal when the city is full, when the city is like full of traffic, a noble machine in daily life can help. It's the perfectly balanced square or diamond, and it allows our lungs to breathe. And it goes on, very beautiful. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie. Out There airs Fridays from 4 until 5, followed by Democracy Now! Up at 5. Next on Out There, here's a little clip from the Smith College remembrance of Palestinian martyrs. This was from this past Tuesday. That would have been April 30th. And I rode by through Smith College campus today on my way here just a little bit ago. And it sounded like they were playing Arabic music, and there's a Palestinian flag in the Chapin Lawn. Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Chapin Lawn at Smith College. There's a vigil to honor Palestinian martyrs. Lots of names written in chalk on the sidewalk. Also, lots of other messages like, are you thinking about the Congo? Where do your vapes get their cobalt? Keep eyes on Sudan. divest. Now stop funding genocide. Free Palestine from the river to the sea. It says white students, and there's a line below it. The line almost looks like the top of a brick wall, and underneath the line it says students of color equals Smith's values. Do better, Smith College.
I will be reciting a verse from the Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa la tahsabanna alladhina qutilu fi sabilillahi amwatun bal ahya'un 'inda rabbihim yurzaqun. Farihin bima ataahum Allah min fadlihi wa ويستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم ألا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون يستبشرون بنعمة من الله وفضل وإن الله لا يضيع أجر المؤمنين صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Saturday, April 20th, 2024. I'm out at the Amherst Sustainability Fair, and here's a table that says Lake Warner.
Hi, I'm Andy Morris Friedman, and I'm a volunteer and former board member of the Friends of Lake Warner in the Mill River. We're a citizens group that's working to preserve the 340-year-old mill pond in the heart of historic North Hadley.
So this Lake Warner, how long has it been around?
Well, nobody really knows. The first white colonial settlers, when they came up from Hartford, built the dam in that spot, and there's been a dam there ever since. So it's 340 years approximately. No one in living memory knows what it was like beforehand. But today, it's one of the most beautiful spots for nature experiences. There's a free boat launch. You can kayak or canoe. You can fish. You can walk and commune with nature and wildlife. It's just the most beautiful place in Hadley. Well, Mount Holyoke is also nice, but it's not a competition.
Your favorite thing to do there?
My favorite thing to do there, it depends what I'm doing. If I'm riding my bike, I just stop and look. If I've got the, if I've got the kayak on the car, then I love to go kayaking or talk to the fishermen. It's just a great community place. And around the Christmas holidays every year, there's a communal Christmas tree lighting with a floating Christmas tree where they have free donuts. So I like that too.
And if people want to support keeping it a public space, how can they support it?
Okay, well, like every small group, we definitely need people's support. You can look up the friendsoflakewarner.org or check out the Facebook page. And we'd love to take you out and show you how beautiful North Hadley Pond really is.
Cool, thanks,
Andy. Yeah, my wife's going to be upset that she's not here to be on the radio.
Oh,
And that was from last year's Odenang Powwow in Amherst. That was in June 2nd, I think, was when that was. This year, the Odenang Powwow will be again in Amherst at Amherst Regional High School. It'll be May 25th and 26th, 2024, open to the public. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. And, well, here's a Cinco de Mayo song. Even though today isn't Cinco de Mayo, I may have been confused about the date. It is still coming. It'll be Sunday. Hang on. I gotta get the right button here now.
Everybody say, salud!
Salud!
Dinero!
Dinero!
Probation!
Probation!
That's only if they catch us! Chico,
uh-oh, I hadn't listened to that song ahead of time, but I better not play that one until I listen to it again. So I'll go to my next clip. So next on Out There, I have an interview that I did with Nat from Louisville when that was at my place in Kentucky, my family's place in Kentucky, doing a little work-awaying. It's Monday, October 23rd, 2023. I'm here in Shenoah, Kentucky with, what's your name? See, we're eating watermelon. This has been a big watermelon party here, and I purposely started this recording while Nat was eating watermelon, because that's one of the sounds of the season. Can you give us a big slurp here? Nat and I met through Workaway, and Nat's been here for the last week at my family's farm homestead place in Bell County. Workaway is your first workaway experience, right?
Yes, it is.
And also my first experience hosting. I'm going to talk here while Matt finishes up the watermelon. Workaway is an online international work exchange site where you can stay with people and work on their, typically it's like homesteads. It's kind of similar to woofing, except for woofing I think is more focused on like actual farm work. But Workaway could be anything. Elder care, child care, language exchange, just in home, whatever kind of help someone posts if they're looking for. All right, I'll let you introduce yourself now. What's your name?
Nat. Natalie's my first name, but I started going by Nat for short, for more sort of androgynous or adult feeling name.
Where are you from?
Louisville, Kentucky.
And when you saw the profile that I made for here in southeastern Kentucky, what interested you?
Yeah, a couple things stood out. I liked that you listed only 2 to 3 hours of work per day. I was like, okay, that's something I can manage. And then obviously the language exchange, none of the other. There are only a couple Kentucky. I only looked at Kentucky Workaway profiles because I wanted to stay within the state. And there were only a couple, but this was the only one that had a multicultural or language exchange. Yeah, being here for a couple days is worth a million Duolingo days, so, yeah.
So, yeah, how, any favorite things about your stay?
The food. Food's very good.
Oh,
the,
wow.
Yeah, no.
Just because it's fresh, I guess.
The freshness, yeah, because in Louisville, yeah, you can, you know, spend $1 million at the farmer's market and have fresh food. But otherwise, it just doesn't compare to, like, physically seeing where you're getting your food. And then, yeah, different cooking styles. We all get in our cooking ruts, so it's cool to see how other people prepare things. Yeah, honestly, I really like the cornmeal grits and then the venison that Jacqueline and Carmen made, and then
tortillas.
Yeah, the tortillas are amazing.
What do you do in Louisville?
So I had been working at a coffee co-op. It's called Old Louisville Coffee Co-op. There were 9 of us when I was there. I just left Old Louisville Coffee Co-op. It's queer-owned. A lot of my co-owners are in recovery from various drugs and alcohol. So it's a sober space. A lot of the nightlife in Louisville is bars, and, you know, things aren't open super late like they are in other cities. And so most of the other coffee shops close around 5 or 6 in the afternoon. But we stay open till 11 at night. And for a while we were doing overnights. So we would be open from Thursday at 8 a.m. until Sunday at 11 p.m. Yeah, it was the only coffee shop open late. It still is. It's definitely a hub for activist work. Multiple of the members have been involved in the Party for Socialism and Liberation at various points. And then some of the members are very involved in the Louisville Tenants Union, which is really popping off now and has been doing really good work around gentrification and fighting gentrification and getting rent control. And we have like a whole wall of literature from the Party for Socialism and Liberation that people can just come and get. They can pay the party through a QR code. And then, we have a food pantry. We have a community gift card where people with more resources can add money to the gift card, and our houseless neighbors, homeless neighbors, anybody who's going through it and needs a meal or a coffee can come use that once a day and get food and a drink every day. And yeah, we have Plan B and contraceptives and fentanyl testing strips and Narcan in our bathrooms.
What's the demographics of the neighborhood that you're in?
So Old Louisville is like, the architecture is very Victorian. In the history, it was like very wealthy white people that lived there, and then there's still like some very wealthy white people that live there, and then, but it's mostly predominantly black and brown neighborhood and more low-income working class neighborhood. It's a part of town where there's like very, very rich people next to more poor people. It's kind of sandwiched between downtown Louisville and the Highlands, which is more of like a liberal part of town. It's got a little bit more going on in terms of like local businesses and everything. And then there's the East End, which is very white and wealthy. And then there's the West End, which is mainly black and brown people. And then, the South part of town, which is more working class people. And it's pretty much Louisville.
Can you talk a little bit about being part of a worker-run coffee shop?
Yeah, I keep saying, we are, but now I need to say, I was. They started out with 5 people, and many of us worked at this larger coffee local corporation that's modeled somewhat after Starbucks, and so that's where some of us got our coffee experience, and my coworkers got their manager experience. The co-op just started from a couple people who were tired of not getting paid well enough and having way too much workload and, you know, just not having great conditions at this company called Heine Brothers in Louisville. And also, Heine Brothers politics is very advertised as progressive, but they asked them to take down their flags during after Pride Month or during Pride Month. I forget exactly the details. And then there was controversy over when we were having Black Lives Matter protests in support of Breonna Taylor. The owner of Heine Brothers came out and was not supportive of the protests and people having just Black Lives Matter signs in their stores. And so, yeah, after resisting that and being bulldozed by higher-ups, a couple people just decided to start their own coffee shop. Yeah, and they did it from the ground up. There's not a lot of co-ops. There have been a couple of co-ops in history in Louisville, but it's definitely still feels like uncharted territory. Some of the challenges is varying levels of leadership or manager experience, learning how to communicate and confront issues, not only effectively, but in a way that maintains a sense of community. There's so much work that goes into running a coffee shop, so dividing that labor and dividing that labor equally and being able to pay ourselves well and make it sustainable so that we can actually make a good living from it. And, you know, dealing with different seasons of when it's more busy in the summer, everyone's tired and burnt out. How do we manage that? And then in the winter, how do we manage having less money, having fewer people walk in the door?
How long has it been since it started?
So officially they opened June 29th of 2022, but I think they started, one of the starters, the founders, just posted a Facebook post being like, hey, is anyone interested in doing this with me in, I want to say, December of 2021? Uh-huh. And so, yeah, they had to remodel the space that they got and get bylaws together and figure out how to be a co-op.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like any of the workers had other, or the co-op founders had other co-op experience.
Not that I know of. I don't think anybody, no.
That seems like a hard jump.
Yeah.
How does the pay and the hours, the workload, compare to when people were working for Heine Brothers?
I don't know that I can speak to that as much as other people because I was never a manager. When you're a manager at Heine Brothers, you're pretty much expected to be on call. And so I think that that factors in. And of course, there's like an element of being on call when you own a business. But since everyone is on call, in a sense, it's not always going to fall on one person. Yeah, there's definitely more work that goes into it. And it's, of course, in your best interest. The difference is it's in your best interest to put in that labor. Like, you're actually getting the return on what you put into it versus at a Heine Brothers. You just feel like a mule. But yeah, it definitely, I would say for everyone, the workload increased. And that's something that has definitely been difficult to figure out. How do we get all of this done with limited time and not a million people?
Yeah. Cool. Anything else you want to say?
Free Palestine.
All right. What about the demographics of the co-owners of the coffee shop? What is that like? Age, gender, race, ethnicity,
yeah,
class.
So I'm the youngest person. I'm white, I'd say upper middle class, class advantaged. Yeah, so most everybody is low income, working class origins. Some of us more class privileged than others. Then there's a mix of white people, black people, black and brown people. On the note of our racial demographics, we're definitely stumbling through and trying to figure out how to manage moments of racism or microaggressions that come up in the coffee shop. I think at a certain point, I think some of the white members were drafting some anti-racist signage, and I think they voted on that and are getting that going at the moment. But it's definitely been something that we've come up against in terms of like how customers interact with each of us differently. For example, one of my coworkers who's a black woman who won't be recognized as an owner as readily as, say, I will, as a white person, a white woman, even though I'm like 8 years younger than them and less qualified, I'd say. And so I think that's something that they're going to keep working on in terms of how do the white workers stay on top of that and bring their allyship into the shift while they're working, and how do we better protect ourselves and our coworkers from moments of transphobia, homophobia, racism. So yeah, that's definitely something they're figuring out at the moment. It's definitely like coming from workplaces where it's very much like either colorblind or like a black or brown person is going to come up against a million microaggressions throughout their work. It's definitely something we have to be like more vigilant about. And yeah, I'll be honest, there were times where it, like, that work and that intention has slipped through the cracks because of whatever reason.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. That was an interview with Nat, who spent a week with me and my family at our place in Kentucky. Nat found us through Workaway, an online work exchange thing, program, network. And Nat's talking about working at Old Louisville Coffee Cooperative. You're listening to Out There. I said that. Clock says 4:43. And next, I think Mother's Day is coming up. So how about a Mother's Day song?
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, I'm scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blame mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Baby, don't you know we love you sweet?
Dear mama.
No one above you,
you all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you?
Now ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out and started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You're just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. You're trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Baby, don't you know we love you, sweet?
And dear mama,
please, no one above you, sweet.
You all appreciate it.
Baby, don't you know we love you?
Pour out some liquor and I reminisce. Cause through the drama, I can always depend on my mama.
And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy, there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweet
dear mama.
Place no one above you, sweet.
You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweet
and dear mama.
And that was Tupac. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. I realized that I have not yet on Out There shared a story that I told for a Valley Voices Story Slam on April 13th, 2024. So, I guess I'll tell it right now. One dark December dawn, about 7 years ago, and 3 miles from here, the radio station, a man and his queen, that's me, lay naked in bed asleep. I thought I heard a knock at the door. I said, "Hey, Dwayne, I think there's someone," but the knocking turned into the pounding of boots running into the apartment and some guy yelling about police and a warrant, hands up. I figured they were going to keep on running out the back door after whoever they're after, but they stopped at the bed. And in a flash, Dwayne was standing naked with his hands against the wall. I thought I should protest, so I said, "Who are you? What are you doing?" "That will come out soon enough," said the man with the badge. Some kind soul, looking at Dwayne's buff self, handed him a shirt off the floor. Dwayne put it on, and he put his hands back against the wall. He was naked from the butt down. And the back of that shirt, it says, "Pedal People." Well, they gave Dwayne some pants and cuffed him. They let me get dressed, as after they shook out our clothes to make sure there was nothing in the pockets. And then they patted us down. They sat us down on kitchen chairs, and I said, "Can I get my recorder?" You know, always thinking about my radio show. But the man said, "Don't move." Then he said, "Dwayne, you know why we're here. Where's the heroin?" Dwayne said, "In the closet." They moved me and Dwayne and our kitchen chairs to opposite ends of the landing outside the apartment while they ransacked the place, throwing open every window, doors, papers, drawers, clothes, the canine sniffing. The officer guarding me, she and I aren't talking because it's kind of tense. Then the man comes out with Dwayne's winter coat. He's got a couple needles and a baggie in his hand. He says, "This was in his pocket, and you were sleeping next to him." He goes back inside, and I say to my guard, "Want to hear a joke?" Well, she's a captive audience in this moment. But maybe it wasn't my best timing. So they take Dwayne away in handcuffs, and they let me go. I ride down Fruit Street in a daze and start my work shift emptying trash barrels on Main Street. I don't know if I should tell anyone, tell everyone. Of course I gotta tell people, because what the hell, I just got rustled out of bed by a SWAT team complete with camo and automatic rifles. And it appears my boyfriend of the last 6 years is selling, using heroin. My biking buddy, my firewood splitting teacher, my dinner cook, my love letter writer, my partner in figurative crime. Dwayne was my bridge to another world. And my family, my parents, gave us books. And Dwayne's family, his parents, gave him booze. He was in his 50s and had just celebrated 7 years of sobriety a week earlier. I felt lost and confused in his picture on the front page of the Gazette. My friends, they all wanted to know, why? Why would he do that? But Dwayne's friends, they just said, I'm sorry. When I finally got the chance to talk to Dwayne up at the jail, he said, yeah, I was biking up the path a couple months ago and ran into some friends who were trying to get into the methadone clinic but couldn't. And they were out of dope and felt like crap and asked if I could get them some. I know how sick you feel when you're out of booze or whatever. You can't even function. And so I did, and I thought that was an easy $20. Then the guy I got it from asked if I could deliver for somebody else. She was an informant. And the needles, well, friends used at my place. I never used, but yeah, Ruthie, it was a lapse in mental sobriety, given the consequences. Well, Dwayne did 18 months of Veterans Drug Court. He was a model student doing his community service at Mana and bringing me free meals at the bike lab. We eventually broke up, but we were partners for life. In 2020, after a lifetime of smoking legal cigarettes, he got diagnosed with throat cancer. So he started Cans for Cancer. He kept riding his e-bike to work and feeding me and collecting bikes for my projects till the cancer finally took him last October. He had been sober for 14 years, but thank God for morphine and pot. And when he died, I inherited everything he owned, including the right to tell stories about him. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. And another song. Oh, yeah. How about Superman with Somewhere? Coming right up.
Lost a friend, lost a brother. Way back they had a fight, never spoke hardly. Now they never get the chance to say I'm sorry. Somewhere there's a little boy who's ready to play first game basketball, but this is a sad day. See, dad's had a fight with his moms and he was gone. Now he's sad, see another dad cheering his son on. There's a young girl cutting the flesh, suicidal, nothing but death, up in the breath, molested by your loved one. The pain is rare, but won't tell anybody, cause the shame she feels. And somewhere there's a man cheating on his wife, playing with fire, been a liar all his life. And he laughs that his whole past is stained with sin, and doesn't know his wife's doing the same thing to him. And it's real.
It's one life to live, so live it the best you can.
Who lost their mother, lost a son, lost a friend, lost a brother. Way back they had a fight, never spoke hardly. Now they never get the chance to say I'm sorry. Somewhere a young woman just hit the stage. They throw dollar bills at her, she strips for days. She's getting paid, trying out different ways. She cries herself asleep and says it's okay. And somewhere there's a pastor who prays a lot, but sometimes it feels like heaven's gates are locked. Come Sunday he's preaching all about his love, even though he knows his daughter's strung out on drugs. And somewhere there's a young man watching his back from the bullies at the school, cause they always attack. See, he always had a hard time making some friends, and if the bullies don't stop, he's gonna take his revenge. And it's real.
It's one life to live, so live it the best you can. It's one life to live, so live it the best you can.
Hey, Victor.
All right, how about, that was Superman. How about a little preaching from Southeast Kentucky?
Loves she with all his heart. Why did he stretch forth his hands if he didn't love you? Why did he do that if he didn't care for you? Old Doubting Thomas, he said, I'll not believe lest I put my hands, my fingers in his holes, in his thrust in his side, my hand in his side. He told him, he said, come and believe.
Music, and you're listening to Valley Free Radio 103.3 FM WXO JLP at Northampton.
Thank you.